Another struggle, another obstacle, another battle.
Ain't no telling where I'm about to go. Ain't no telling what I'm about to do. But I don't need you telling me what I need to do or who I need to be. Just let me be free.
Would have never happened without whistleblowers like Tyler Schultz.
Yeah, Tyler was fresh out of Stanford University with a biology degree.
Fuck yeah, Tyler Schultz. Good fucking job, man. Good morning, jesters. Good morning, jestettes. Good morning, fellow jestarians. It's a great fucking day, man. It's a warmer day. It's warming up outside. It's a beautiful day. Good morning, Mr. Pickle. Hear me, bud. Hear me, man. I love you. I miss you. I fucking love you, man. I miss you. I want you in my life. Oh, okay. Anyway. It's a great fucking day, man. It's a great day. Great day. What we're going to do now is we're going to get back into our conversation with Dr. Carl Hart in Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. Well, you know what? We got to start the vaporizer. What the hell am I thinking about? Quote unquote harm reduction has to go. I walked around the park grounds checking out the jubilant crowd of young partygoers. A gospel-sounding, organ-dominated groove played in the background. It was a familiar sound. I couldn't name it. I also couldn't ignore it. My attention, though, was being beckoned by one of the volunteers from the Loop. Excited, this kind bloke told me about the harm reduction services they were providing at the festival. His huge handlebar mustache and crew cut evoked thoughts of Confederate soldiers, flags, monuments, the whole nine. For a southern black person, this wasn't a good first impression, but I knew this was my issue, not his. Good call, buddy. So I did my best to focus on anything other than his facial hair. I checked out his gear. It was casual, red-rimmed bifocals, a tie-dyed t-shirt, and cargo shorts, and seemed incongruent with his hairstyle. In an attempt to reciprocate the kindness and respect he showed me, I tried to listen more attentively. You know what? I'm going to pull out this bag. I tell you, bud. I'll just take little hits, as little as we can, and we will continue with Dr. Hart. But it was difficult to listen attentively, that's what he said. But it was difficult because the recording of Al Green's 1972 classic, Love and Happiness, blasted from the sound system. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right, Green sang, with a great deal of sorrow, combined with the rapture expressed by a true believer. His brilliant treatment of the anguish and joy that can result from being in love hit me like an amphetamine. I reflected on the idea of harm reduction. It doesn't capture the complexity associated with grown-up activities such as love or war or drug use. Instead, it preoccupies us with drug-related harms, and the connection between harms and drug use is reinforced repeatedly through our speech. This connection, in turn, narrows our associations, conversations, and feelings, memories, and perceptions about drugs and those who partake. Perhaps even worse, it relegates drug users to an inferior status. Surely, only a feeble-minded soul would engage in an activity that always produces harmful outcomes, as the term implies. In that moment, listening to Al Green testify alongside my handlebar-mustached host, I felt certain that the term harm reduction had to go. It had worn out its welcome. We needed a new term, new language, because the language we use shapes how we think and behave. We need to think about drugs and behave in a more nuanced manner. We need to cut the bullshit and stop pretending drugs inevitably and only lead to undesired outcomes. Fuck yes. I pondered the question of what term or phrase I would use as an alternative. I had no idea, but I knew the updated expression had to be multifaceted. It had to be flexible enough to accommodate myriad drug effects, whether they were good, bad, or indifferent. And like the song, Love and Happiness, it had to capture complex and even conflicting constructs. Health and Happiness popped into my head. I liked it. It sounds like Love and Happiness, but included the important word health, so it could be broadly applied to other activities in which we engage. For example, traveling via car presents potential risks to one's health, as well as potential benefits that impact one's happiness. Wearing a seatbelt, replacing tires so they are not worn, and making sure the brakes and windshield wipers function properly. All can be conceptualized as health and happiness strategies. Similarly, setting aside at least an 8-hour sleep period following a bout of heavy stimulant use is also a health and happiness strategy. Furthermore, the phrase health and happiness reminds me of the noble ideals laid out in our Declaration of Independence. The signers unequivocally declared that it is our unalienable right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. The bottom line is this. Millions of Americans, including me, have discovered that certain drugs facilitate our ability to achieve this goal, even if only temporarily. I recognize that I have no authority to coin a phrase for an entire field, especially one comprising many experts who have been doing this work long before I even knew the field existed. That isn't my goal. Frankly, I think there needs to be a specific term for harm reduction. We already have such terms. Common sense, prevention, education, and the like. Off break! Damn. Excuse me. Now where was I? I recognize I have experts who have been doing this work for long as I have, even though the field existed. That isn't my goal. Frankly, I think there needs to be a specific term for harm reduction. We already have such terms, common sense, prevention, education, and the like. I don't much care which term is used, just as long as it doesn't box drug use into an exclusively harmful category, and it recognizes the positive features of the experience. Fuck yeah! Preach on, Dr. Carl. Opioid crisis. A crisis of data collection and reporting. Unfortunately, simply replacing the term harm reduction won't do much to combat sensationalist media headlines that too often give the impression that the death is the only outcome associated with drug use. Panic-stricken coverage of the so-called opioid crisis is an acute example. Opioids responsible for 2/3 of global drug deaths in 2017, the UN, was the title of a typical article on the subject. In the piece, the author concluded that opioids were responsible for 2/3 of all drug deaths worldwide. Really? I doubt it. I am not suggesting that fatal drug overdoses don't occur. They do. Nor am I suggesting that we as a society should not be concerned about such cases. We should. My point is that the evidence for this claim is weak at best. Events leading to drug-related deaths are often far more ambiguous and complex than media reports would have you believe.
If you like the show and want to support us directly, check us out on Venmo at the_jester.
Peace. In the United States, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention... Goddamn. Off-break! In the United States, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the corrupt CDC, my words, not his, collects mortality data from death certificates which contain the cause of death. These certificates are filled out by thousands of different people across the country. Each state determines its own standards and requirements for individuals conducting death investigations. As a result, death investigators vary widely in their training and experience. Some are medical examiners and others are coroners. Medical examiners are physicians with specialty training in forensic pathology. God damn it, why did I look away? Whereas coroners are not required to have any medical training, except in Arkansas, Kansas, Minnesota, and Ohio. Usually, medical examiners are appointed by a chief medical officer. Coroners are elected by the voting public. Remarkably, any eligible voter can become a coroner, regardless of their knowledge or lack thereof, on issues related to death investigation. What's even more absurd is that most regions of the United States rely on coroners. See Appendix 1 for a detailed list by state. As you might imagine, these different standards can and do produce considerable variations in the collection and reporting of cause of death data, including drug overdose. Added to this glaring systemic defect is the variety of circumstances surrounding drug-related deaths. In most cases, more than one substance is found in the body of the deceased, and the concentrations of these drugs are often not determined. Hence, it is difficult, if not impossible, to attribute the death to a single drug because we can't know which, if any, of the drugs reach the blood level that would be fatal by itself. Whenever officials or reporters claim that a particular drug caused the death, you should ask about the drug's concentration in the body and whether other drugs were involved. A related point regarding fatal overdoses that involve multiple drugs is that individuals' deaths can be counted more than once. If the deceased body contains three drugs, for example, then this can be recorded as three separate overdoses. Obviously, this alternative math overstates the overdose death toll and hinders the public's ability to obtain an accurate picture of the problem. What he's saying is that the media overstates facts to create a narrative. Ugh, they wouldn't do that. That's preposterous. Ha! I still can't get over the fact that they truly thought that cocaine made black men bulletproof. I mean, what the fuck? Jesus. I mean, I don't get it, man. I don't understand it. But that's where we're going to leave off with Dr. Carl today. Today. What? No, duh. You are so dumb. Oh, you're not dumb. You're just, you put shit in the wrong place where it shouldn't be. You're just anxious. I get it. Now I want you to get back to the show, buddy. Okay. So, what we're going to do now, though, is we are going to dive, because you need to be fully immersed in the BS to fully understand it. We are going to dive into the UFC. Let's see what kind of bullshizer these mother truckers are trying to sell us today. If you have a topic or a story or just something you want the Jester's opinion on, go ahead and leave a voice message at anchor.fm/SWTJ. Sessions with the Jester, baby. Yeah.
When the CDC announced last week that it was revising recommended isolation times for COVID positive patients from 10 days to 5 days, there was no mention of a testing requirement.
And that decision drew criticism from health experts for being too lax and confusing, but the CDC is holding firm. Updated guidance from the agency last night maintained that a negative...
You see, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty goddamn tired of this COVID nonsensical bullshit. Nobody is getting sick. The original novel coronavirus is gone. Nobody gets sick from that anymore. It's all the variants. The Delta variant is gone. Nobody gets sick with the Delta anymore. That's gone. Everything's Omicron. And as we've seen, as we've heard, as they've fucking said ever since the first fucking started, Omicron is nowhere near as virulent. You might get a fucking sore throat. But they still want you to be afraid. They want you to take this shot. The shot that is based off the original coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, that doesn't exist anymore. Now, you'd say, well, are you a doctor? Are you a virologist? No, I'm fucking not. But I can see facts as they line up. Is anybody getting sick with the original coronavirus? No. Have you heard about anybody dying from the original coronavirus? No. So it's gone. Have you heard anybody catching the Delta variant? Have you heard anybody being hospitalized with the Delta variant? Have you heard anybody being killed because of the Delta variant? No. So it's gone. Now, Omicron. They're only talking about fucking cases. Not about hospitalization. Only about cases. And what they're using to calculate the fucking cases is a model. They're modeling the spread of the virus. It's not actual numbers. And the numbers that they're using to formulate the model, they're flawed as well. So the entire fucking system is flawed. The entire goddamn thing is nonsensical bullshit. But hey, let's keep listening to them and see what kind of bullshit they're trying to send.
Test is not needed for people who are fever free and whose symptoms have improved. Now, all this comes amid a massive Omicron surge.
A massive Omicron surge. You better go get your shot, motherfucker. Shut up.
So, as A said, the CDC drew a lot of criticism for not putting in place a testing requirement. How's the agency justifying this choice?
Yeah, so as you remember, last week the agency shortened how long infected people have to isolate from 10 days to 5, as long as they wear a good mask for another 5 days.
A good mask. Well, what's a good mask? Tell me what the fuck a good mask is, buddy.
Critics called the policy reckless.
I promise you a good mask isn't a goddamn piece of cloth over your goddamn mouth and nose.
Vivek Murthy strongly hinted over the last few days that the agency would revise the
guidelines. And I know a good mask isn't one of those fucking other with the pleats in it. Those aren't good.
New guidelines saying people can't test
18,
if they
at least 18% of the air that enters your lungs wearing those masks comes from around it. And that mask is only set to filter out everything 3 microns and above. So, masks don't make any goddamn sense.
Just give us the big picture right now.
Yeah, you know, everybody feared this surge would be off the charts, and it is. According to the Johns Hopkins University, the U.S. recorded more than 1 million new infections on Monday. Now, some of that big number is because of delays in reporting over the holidays, but it still underscores how unbelievable.
But I thought you said you were using a fucking model.
And
I'm
that
nuts.
Came on the same day that the CDC released a new estimate for how quickly
estimate.
The super contagious Omicron variant has taken over in this country. The CDC estimates the Omicron variant accounts for more than 95% of all new infections. And
so the original and the Delta are gone.
Some parts of the country.
For the most part, there's still 5% apparently.
So many people have had this thing that the variant doesn't have anywhere else to go.
Well, you know, a new projection just came out from the
projection,
COVID-19
a new model.
Modeling hub, and that synthesizes computer modeling from around the country for the CDC. The researchers stress that there's still a lot of uncertainty about how bad things could get, but they're pretty confident about one thing. The eye-popping trajectory of this surge is still accelerating, and because so many people
people are
so
getting
fast,
the fucking cold. It's the goddamn winter, you dumb son of a bitch. any PCR test you get home is gonna detect any coronavirus, and the coronavirus is the common fucking cold. GFY, buddy. GFY, buddy.
Our healthcare systems. Personally, I'm preparing myself for a dark January.
Oh, look at this, such a dreary motherfucker. Oh, he's a dreary January because people are going to have sore throats. Oh, shut up. Fucking propagandist bastard. How much did they pay for that, I wonder?
That things in South Africa, where Omicron was first detected, that things there have actually gotten better. Doesn't that portend good news?
Yeah.
The good news is that the
imagine that, because maybe people, I don't know what's going on in South Africa, but maybe people got intelligent and hip to the idea that the fucking Democratic Party is what started all this fucking scare tactic bullshit fear porn, as Dr. God damn it, I can't even fucking remember his name. Hey there, fellow Jesterians. Let me tell you about a sponsor of ours that is now part of the Jester family. Shine On Botanicals is one of the purest CBD distillate on the market. We have tinctures, roll-ons, vapes, gummies. We also have pet tinctures. Money-back guarantee if you find a better price. Email thepromotingjester@gmail.com. Put Shine on the subject line and list what you would like to purchase. By the end of the week, you will receive an invoice. Easy peasy. Now let's get back to the UFC and fight against that bullshit propaganda.
Okay, the FBI has spent the last year trying to track down the hundreds, possibly thousands, of rioters who breached the U.S. Capitol last January.
But there is another unofficial effort underway working toward the same goal. Groups of amateur detectives, volunteers known as sedition hunters, have been scouring
amateur detectives
last year to try to identify people who participated in last year's insurrection.
Do you want to know how amateur sleuths? This is the new fucking vigilante. They're going out on their own. They're doing this. Not knowing. All of them are fucking kids, I'm sure. Or idiots from the fucking left. But they're all fucking brown shirts is what they are. I don't want to call them the Hitler Youth. They're the brown shirts. I'm going to call them the fucking brown shirts. Because they are the youth of this country. They are going to be our downfall. Because that's how you change society. You start them young. You tell the young ones how you want them to think. You teach them what you want them to say. You don't teach them to question authority. No, the authority is your God to the kids. That's what they're telling these fucking kids. The parents are just okay because there's no such thing as 100%, so no. It's fucking happening. I mean, call me a fucking conspiracy theorist all you want. I see the fucking... The 1930s are coming back around, man. We're going to start sending the goddamn unvaxxed to the fucking ovens, man. Buy the train loads. If the DNC has their way, that's how the fuck it's going to be. This vaccine, by the way, this vaccine that's based on the original strain that no longer exists. So, yeah, you keep go get that shot, buddy. Fuck yeah, go do it. Jesus Christ.
NPR's Odette Youssef has been talking to some of them, and she joins us now. Good morning, Odette.
Good morning.
Who exactly are these folks, these so-called sedition hunters?
Well, Rachel,
the brown
shirts.
It
seemed like they were
the fucking brown
with a
shirts,
laptop,
God damn it.
Hour and some outrage over what they witnessed on live television last January 6th. But over the last year, they've organized into a really interesting loose-knit community online that uses publicly available resources like Twitter, Parler, video platforms, and other.
So now that they're getting the power, the acknowledgement from these motherfuckers, that's just going to propel them higher. And further, it's going to give them more strength.
You've spoken with
more validity.
Can you introduce
these fucking brown shirts, man.
Sure. One who spoke on the record.
I fucking be careful, otherwise we about to be fucked.
American living in Switzerland. At
least now you can see how the fucking the Holocaust happened, man. Because Hitler's propaganda, the Jews are the to blame for everything, and everybody just jumped on board of that train. So now it's the unvaxxed are to blame for everything. Let's send them to the fucking ovens. We can't give them medical. We don't want to give them medical treatment. Kill them all. I mean, that's just how it's becoming, man.
So, Rachel, Roger's group combed through images.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Posted that day when they
changed my fucking mind.
With the pink hat, they shared those images on Twitter and asked the public for tips. And less than 2 weeks after they started investigating her, Roger's group had identified Rachel Powell. They sent that information to the FBI, and Powell was arrested a few weeks later.
Wow. So you characterize them as a loose-knit community, but, I mean, are they a united front in this effort?
Well, you know, the ways that they've organized and maintained confidentiality around their investigations have really been notable. But over the last 12
it's
months,
sad.
It's also been
it's a sad state of affairs that we're coming
you know, there
to,
are
man.
Some differences within this community.
The recruiting the brown shirts, baby. Be aware.
Like
be fucking aware.
Should they look into anybody who trespassed into restricted areas, or should they focus on those who committed acts of violence? Another maybe surprising area of difference is this question
snitches.
Of what to
we're
do
fucking raising a goddamn land of snitches, man.
For Forrest Rogers, it was always about
the brown shirts. I'm telling you. I'm fucking
FBI
telling you. That's where it's fucking heading. That's where the fuck this is heading if it doesn't get nipped in the goddamn bud, man.
So instead of
Jesus Christ, we gotta end this fucking COVID regime bullshit.
So is there a way to measure what kind of difference this group, loosely affiliated, has made?
Well, the FBI estimates 2,000 people were involved that day, Rachel, and so far over 700 have faced charges. I spoke with Ryan Riley, a journalist at HuffPost. He says the FBI hasn't been able to keep up with the tips that sedition hunters have sent in. So
of course not,
because
they're all, ooh, I got the power, I got the power, I'm going to get the glory, because I'm a fucking snitch. Go fuck yourself, man. This is sad, sad state of fucking affairs, man.
NPR's Odette Youssef, thank you so much.
Thank you.
"71 Degrees and Cloudy" is an amazing little head shop right in the heart of Lakewood, New York. Or you can find them at 710andcloudy.com, where you can use code word SWED10, save 10% on your order. They have all your smoking deals on your smoking accessories. Check out 710andcloudy.com or 50 Chautauqua Avenue in Lakewood, New York. Now let's get back to the show.
This week's conviction of Elizabeth Holmes, the former CEO of Theranos, would have never happened without whistleblowers like Tyler Schultz.
Yeah, Tyler was fresh out of Stanford University with a biology degree.
Fuck yeah, Tyler Schultz. Good fucking job, man. I'm proud of you, brother. It took balls. It took fucking grit.
Did not work.
Good fucking job, buddy.
Tyler reported his misgivings to New York Department of Health regulators. Now, in the process, he became
now, granted, we can't believe a word these fuckers say, but for the most part, Tyler Schultz is a good fucking dude. For all we know, just for bringing to the forefront this bitch's corrupt behavior.
What did he see that eventually compelled him to alert authorities?
Yeah, so before we go there, I mean, I should say he was really inspired by Elizabeth Holmes when he first met her. I mean, he was a biology major at Stanford, and the idea of disrupting blood testing by making it faster, easier, and more painless than ever before just really appealed to him. But like you said, he saw some red flags pretty quickly. And the first one was, you know, when Theranos was doing these quality control inspections that were mandatory, Theranos would roll out these big Siemens commercially available blood analyzer machines.
Uh-huh.
Not
juggles.
Elizabeth Holmes' miracle device. That seemed weird because they were using the so-called miracle device known as the Edison on
patients.
Oh,
that was funny.
The second problem Tyler noticed was when he actually looked inside of the Edison itself, you realize there was nothing innovative about it at all. I mean, you know, the promises that Elizabeth Holmes was making that it could scan for hundreds of conditions with a tiny little pinprick of blood, that just could not be fulfilled with this technology. I talked to Schultz about this.
It was clear that there was an open secret within Theranos that this technology simply did not exist.
And the decision to blow the whistle, I mean, this affected his life, right?
He said it was a nightmare. Holmes hired private investigators to go after him. She hired lawyers to intimidate him. He became socially isolated. He was living in constant fear, Rachel. Really sounds miserable. And, you know, he had to confront his grandfather, the, you know, former Secretary of State, George Shultz, by telling him, this woman you believe so much in, this person who you, you recruited all of your friends to back, she's a liar and she cannot be trusted. And it didn't go...
And I know how hard it is to fucking, when somebody's telling you that the person you trust and love and invested so much time and effort in has been lying to you, it's very difficult to accept. So I give props to this kid for just coming out. Eventually, obviously, the truth comes out, obviously. But, man, good job, dude. Standing fucking ovation, Mr. Tyler Shultz. Good fucking job.
Over so well.
He didn't believe me. He said Elizabeth has assured me that they go above and beyond all regulatory standards. I think you're wrong, is what he told me.
Wow. So what does Tyler Shultz think about Elizabeth Holmes's conviction now?
Yeah, he sees this as a moment of vindication. I mean, he wasn't the only whistleblower at the company. There were others, but, you know, he was the first to file a complaint to regulators. So that was a bold and risky move. And, you know, he told me when he saw that the jury had convicted Holmes of 4 fraud-related charges, he met up with his family and popped a bottle of champagne because, I mean, this Theranos saga has been involved in his life for more than a decade. So he's, you know, more than eager to have some closure here.
So what has been the main takeaway for Tyler Shultz from Holmes's downfall?
Yeah, he's done a lot of self-reflection, and it's interesting because he himself now is a startup founder. He runs a little biotech company out in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you know, now he's pitching investors. He's finding himself making exaggerated claims about his goals, much like his old boss, Elizabeth Holmes. And, you know, investors are telling him, we're going to be totally done with you if you can't double in size in a year. And he told me, and look, Rachel, I thought this was really powerful. He could really see how this cutthroat culture gave rise to Elizabeth Holmes. So, you know, that's to say Shultz is not overly optimistic that this single jury verdict is going to radically change how business is done out here in Silicon Valley.
NPR tech reporter Bobby Allen. Huh. Bobby, thank you.
Good shit. Rachel. Good shit. And that is the UFC for Wednesday, January 5th. Deuce, deuce. I'm just a fucking pothead. These mother trucking mother truckers, man. I don't see how they can just keep plugging along telling lies about COVID when the facts are right there, man. You line up all the facts and you can tell a fucking story, which is not the story that they're telling. I don't fucking understand how they could continue. Well, because people believe it and they don't look at what's going on. People are just blind, man. And it's frustrating. Because I don't want to hate... I love people, man. Good people. I love good people. Good people deserve love. To be loved. Like, this fucking... The first story... What was the first story? Let me turn on my light. The CDC. Corona restrictions. Nothing in this entire scamdemic has made any sense to me at all. And I'm sure it didn't make any sense to a lot of you as well. So, it's all just bullshit and I'm done with it, man. I am done with it. Put all the facts in a row. The novel coronavirus, the original, the one that the vaccine is based on, is gone. It's gone. It's fucking gone. The Delta variant. Oh, that's scarier than the first. Oh my God, we're all going to die. That's gone. Oh no, I'm sorry. There's 5%. 5% was left is what they said. Because Omicron accounts for 95% of the cases. An Omicron. Oh my God, it's so scary. We're all gonna get a sore throat. Oh my God, go get a shot that doesn't work for this variant, but because so you don't get a sore throat. Shut up. I'm fucking done with your horse shit, man. This entire fucking last 2 fucking years have been a goddamn joke. No, it hasn't been a joke. They've fucked you over. The entire fucking Biden administration has been fucked from the beginning because it's not a legitimate administration. It's not a legitimate fucking administration. Jesus. But let's move on to January 6th, right after Biden took office. Of course they're talking about it because they don't want you to forget about it. Because they don't want you to forget about Trump. Excuse me. They don't want you to forget about the hate you have for Trump that they installed. That's totally unjustified, but it is what it is. But they don't want you to forget that because Trump's coming back. Because Trump's coming back. Oh, this is an interesting time. We'll see. But the thing is, it doesn't fucking matter who the fuck is in the White House. They don't have any fucking control anyway. That's why I'm confused. Of course I don't know everything. Of course. I wish I did. I'm trying to piece shit together. But as you can... Obviously, this fucking dementia-ridden Joe Biden isn't running shit. Because he's a fucking washed-up old-ass man who shits his pants. What the fuck? Now, granted... I've shit my pants before, too. But I'm not a fucking president.
You have a Roku? If you do, you should add channel 716. That's CHANNEL space 716. It's full of classic films and local news now with loads and loads of original content on the way. Downloading channel 716 to your Roku is going to be one of the best decisions you've made today. Let's get back to the show.
And the last story was about a real fucking American hero, a goddamn whistleblower from the company of Elizabeth Holmes. This kid put his life at risk, put his relationship with his family at risk. For the truth. And that's what you need in this fucking life. Because I fucking hate liars. And I'm sure you fucking hate liars too. Fucking liars have ruined my fucking relationship with my son. Fucking liars have ruined my fucking life before. I fucking hate liars, man. Be a man. Be fucking honest with people. Take fucking responsibility. I fucking hate liars, man. But well done to Mr. Tyler Schultz, man. Well fucking done. Standing ovation for him. Fuck yes. Fuck yes, man. I'm proud as fuck of that dude. Fuck yes. But now let's check in with Mr. Ben, shall we? Let's see what space weather is going to be for December 5th. Deuce deuce. Good morning, Mr. Ben.
Good morning, folks. Today we take a look at the sun, the solar cycle progression, eye candy, solar climate forcing, and Earth's developing geomagnetic disaster. We'll start with our star at spaceweathernews.com and find the last day on the sun very quiet. Solar flaring is absent. The coronal hole on the south is sending fast solar wind our way to arrive near the weekend, likely to bring minor geomagnetic effects. And we also have some sunspots coming onto the disk in the south. Speaking of sunspots, why don't we check in on the sunspot cycle 25 progression here and find ourselves way ahead of the curve. The sun has been producing sunspots at a much more furious pace than expected, albeit with about the usual number of flares and CMEs. Now, this is where experts expected us to be about a year from now, and so we're eyeing much stronger solar activity than we had imagined in the coming 2 to 4 years of the maximum phase. That is a bad thing, and we'll see why here momentarily. But first, let's go find the fastest wind on Earth at the moment. powerful North Atlantic low driving a convergence and squeezing of the wind flow around its southern edge, way up into hurricane force winds at this point and over an area the size of Vermont. Let's transition from here into the rest of our eye candy. Up first, it's a new radio look at Orion that followed the optical and infrared views. In radio, the flame nebula core of Orion looks like it really deserves its name. Amazingly, this came out the same day as the new Starforge simulation. Essentially, this is what Orion is, the remnant of a Titanic explosion in the past, leading to juggernaut-like stellar ignition, evolution, and explosion. They're starting to be able to include numerous previously ignored feedbacks, which will one day let them see there is no dark matter needed, but that will be up at the galactic scale, not a star cluster. Anyway, time to flex the cerebrum as we find numerous authors cited from our textbook, grinding out fine details here on coronal hole evolution and finding it to match the three-decade oscillations in the climate. Coronal holes control particle flux, have very little influence on irradiance, but are also the source points for the magnetic fields that connect to Earth's for the magnetic plasma portal and flux transfer events. Again, in sync with known long-period climate patterns at the decadal scale. Wanted to mention this new one on Earth's changing magnetic field because it marks the fifth time I've seen a study in the last year attempting to discuss the geomagnetic secular variation over the Pacific, and which did not cite the major 2020 paper describing how it accelerated right in the West Pacific. And so this leads us into our top story. Folks, hopefully you saw the documentary from Christmas Day and remember that Earth's ionosphere is showing signs of sustained perturbation even with a weaker sun over the last few decades. The only explanation is Earth's weakening magnetic field is letting in more of the energy from space, and confirmations of the trend come here. And unlike last time, they're expressly stating this is going to become an issue as we move further into the cyclical shift on our planet. And so no, we really don't want to see the sunspot cycle take off like wild in the coming years, do we? We greatly appreciate your support. If you haven't seen that documentary, it's posted under the video in the YouTube description box. We've got wind maps and shots of our star to close. Subscribe, and we'll do this all again tomorrow. Right here, but right now, it's 5:30 a.m. in the new Valley of the Sun. Eyes open. No fear. Be safe, everyone.
Good shit, Mr. Ben. Good shit. Remember to subscribe to Suspicious Observers on YouTube, get full impact those videos, and stay up to date on what's popping off cosmologically. Fuck you. Quote of the day. Every day is a new day. You'll never be able to find happiness if you don't move on. Very true. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Live in the now. Enjoy the moment you are in right now. Because that's really all you have. That's all there is right now. The future is yet to come, and the past is gone. So live for now. Fuck yeah. Well, but prepare for the future. Live for now, but prepare for the future. Fuck yeah. So let's ramp up. Let's get the words out there and let's spread the gesture revolution, baby. If you ain't laughing, you ain't living. Ha 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 ha. So be a better version of yourself. Smoke the weed every day. Make shit happen. That's just what you gotta do.